So welcome back to the Sustainable Business Podcast. So this season, we're diving into the theme of global local. So this is looking at how the big shift happening around the world are being felt by small businesses here at home, and how local action, however big or small, can help solve global challenges like climate change and net zero. So today, I'm glad to be joined by Simon Rolfe, co-founder of Sea Change, who produce award-winning eco wines. And it's a business that's built sustainability into the heart of everything it does, from plastic-free packaging to supporting ocean charities. Welcome, Simon. Thanks so much for being our guest today. So I really, really want to hear more about Sea Change and your mission. So tell us a bit about it.
Well, firstly, Rebecca, thanks ever so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here and talk a little bit about Sea Change Wine. So, really interesting topic. I think the links between our business, our brand, from a sustainability perspective, and also just looking at the business as a whole and how it's grown. I think the story starts back in 2006 when my father, Bill, and my current business partner, Toby, left their roles within the corporate wine trade and started their own small business, just two of them, called 10 International. The plan was to find wines around the world, create brands that they thought would work in the UK market, and then look to sell them through. Mm-hmm. The business grew nicely, slowly at first, as often will be the case. And fast forward to today, we're a little bit bigger now. So there's 13 members of staff. We're based in the southeast of the UK in Surrey. But we produce wines all around the world and sell them all around the world as well. So to put in a bit of perspective, we sell between 4 and 5 million bottles a year, not all under the Sea Change brand. We'll sell about 500,000 bottles of Sea Change in any given year. We're working with wholesalers, large restaurant groups, airlines, and businesses in about 15 to 20 international markets as well.
Mm-hmm. And what's the idea behind the name then? Because you know, kind of looking at the website, so it's a kind of business very driven by a mission, isn't it? To save
ocean, for sure,
to make something different, to really make an impact, I suppose. So
that's just right. Yeah. So the Sea Change brand came about in 2018. So we were attending the annual wine trade show in Düsseldorf. So it's called ProVine. At that point in time, it was the big global annual wine conference, and we were out with some customers from west coast of Canada, British Columbia, and they were sort of saying, hey guys, what's the big new idea for this year? You know, what are you going to do? What can we bring over to Canada now? And the three directors at that point, myself, Toby, and Ian Hanley, all had young families. Now, Ten International has always had a sort of charitable angle to it. The very first wine that the business launched before my time used to support the elephant family, so a charity protecting the environment of elephants. And at this point in time, sort of fast forward to 2018, we're of a mindset that we wanted to do something similar again. So we were saying to the Canadian customers, we'd like to do something that has a sustainable charitable link if we could. And we were just sort of chewing the fat really and thinking about different ideas, and the actual initial concept came from the Canadians, who said, you know, something that's hot in the press at the moment in Canada is ocean bound plastic that was washing up on the sort of west coast of Canada, causing, you know, awful pollution on some of the, you know, fantastic pristine coastline. And the realization that this wasn't Canadian waste. This was a global issue. Yes. And this waste was getting into the ocean somewhere and then ending up, due to currents and tides, washing up in Canada. And it was beginning to get quite a lot of airtime in the press over there, and the public were rightly becoming concerned. This gave us the initial idea of this would be an interesting area to investigate. Could this be linked to our wine? We went away and started doing our own research, came up with the name. We were very specific in terms of the branding, that we wanted something that was quite clean to look at, quite modern, quite memorable. We wanted something in English, although the wines would be made in different countries around the world. And then the first stage was then to start thinking about, right, what charity partners could we potentially support? And we basically researched a wide number of different potential charity partners. And one of the first that I met was run by a lady called Jo Ruxton. Now, Jo Ruxton, she's an MBE. She worked on Blue Planet. Fantastic woman, amazing TV producer, film producer, and underwater videographer herself. And her story is fascinating. When she sat down and started speaking to me, how working on the original Blue Planet with David Attenborough, she felt really, really strongly that the production was heading too much in the direction of how beautiful everything is
on the surface
and on the surface and all the amazing animals, and it's fantastic seeing the dolphins. She was saying, yeah, but that's not what we're seeing every day when we're out recording in the ocean. We've got to show some of this as well. And I think there was some challenges internally in terms of the production about what to show and what, how to edit. And it ultimately led Jo to, I think, leaving after Blue Planet One and saying, well, I'm going to make my own film. Jo went away and fought tooth and nail to raise the finance to do so, but ultimately made the film A Plastic Ocean. That was, if you haven't seen it, I would recommend anybody listening to watch that. It's a hard-hitting documentary, but it's unbelievable. And it was actually Netflix, I think, top documentary for several years on the trot in terms of views. And Jo made Plastic Ocean and then launched the charity A Plastic Ocean, which is now renamed itself to Ocean Generation. And this is our core charity partner, our global partner. So they remain to this day our global partner. Fantastic charity that educates hundreds of thousands of children every year about the challenges and the issues and the problems that ocean pollution can cause. They do some amazing research, and then they use that research to also lobby governments around the world to make a legislative change that would try to help this issue. So, yeah, fantastic charity. And that was our first partner.
Yeah, so fascinating to talk about, because I know you saw, but Sir David Attenborough was talking this week about, you know, in his 100 years, he's going to be 100 soon, isn't it? That it's not actually the land, it's the sea that's at the biggest, you know, kind of danger, isn't it? And that, I suppose, businesses like yourself, it's you're taking responsibility as a small business to do something you can to give back, aren't you? So I think that's really important.
Absolutely. I think that was the ethos that we wanted to sort of engender in the brand going forward. As I say, each of the directors in 2018 had a young family. You know, I had at that point a 5-year-old daughter. And whilst we were, you know, conscious that we wanted to continue the business on its growth trajectory that it's always been on, you know, we're very proud we've made a profit every year since inception. We were conscious that it was also the right time to start giving something back, and to, you know, all three of us wanted to have a strong desire to leave the business once, you know, we retire or step away, and the world in a better state than we found it. And that was the driving sort of passion that has led to the growth of Sea Change, I think.
I think it's really inspiring. So when it comes to global things, obviously you've got people in the US who are not so supportive of kind of sustainability and net zero targets, things like that. As a small business that works across the globe, you were talking about Canada there. How do these kind of big kind of, you know, targets, I suppose, and kind of government saying, well, you know, we're going to slow things down, how does that affect your business? Or are you just on a mission to carry on regardless? Does it affect anything on a day-to-day kind of basis?
I think it really does. It's quite interesting. I think when we launched Sea Change, it quite rapidly gained sort of traction in certain markets and with certain customers. And it's always been that people either get it and they get it straight away and are really strong supporters, or they just don't. So I think that global sort of perspective from each different country does have an impact. You know, we probably wrongly assumed early on that the success we'd seen in certain markets would be fairly straightforward to replicate in others, internationally speaking, that hasn't necessarily been the case. So there's certain markets where you think demographically economically the brand should work very well, and yet it can be quite challenging to penetrate that market for a number of different reasons. Whereas other markets are far more open to the concept, to the fact that there's a donation attached to the product. They're far more accepting of us trying to strip down the packaging and to minimize the amount of waste that's on every bottle. So one of the first things we did once we got the charity partners was then to look at the product. Mm. So start removing the unnecessary plastic capsules around the top of every bottle. You know, there's billions of bottles of wine produced every year. The vast majority of them have a plastic sort of capsule over the top for aesthetic reasons. And we just thought, we see change. Why is anyone doing this? Let's get rid of it. Mm. And it was great, you know, it's been great to see recently in the last couple of years that some pretty big retailers have now copied our original step there by removing the capsules on their wines as well. So that was an interesting start. We started looking at reducing bottle weights very early as well, you know, and we're, you know, really pleased to see the industry now moving towards a sort of 300 gram sort of more eco-friendly piece of glass. Mm-hmm. Now this seemed a very long way ago, even as far back as, you know, as 2018. It doesn't feel that long ago, but you just couldn't get glass or dry goods that fitted that spec then. Feeling in the industry at that point in time, I think, was the heavier, the thicker the glass, the better the wine, and you can charge a premium for it. So stuff, you know, wines were coming in great big 800 gram bottles. And pleased to say that a degree of that mentality has moved on now, and are looking at the bigger picture rather than purely an aesthetic one.
But it sounds as if you've really taken the time to stop and think about what makes a difference. And I think that's really powerful, because as a small business is, you know, the cost of packaging and all the extra things that, you know, it's not just about what's in the bottle or the plastic bottle, is it? You're actually thinking about that. And, you know, in terms of, I suppose that's a cost to you as a business as well, isn't it? So how do you weigh that up with doing the right thing, with ultimately trying to be profitable, I suppose?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Rebecca. I think this is something that has been a challenge since day one. So there's certain red lines that we won't cross. So we won't have any unnecessary plastic on any sea change. Mm. So that does rule out certain things, like we won't use a screw cap opening because it has a plastic waterproof seal in the top. So all our wines are cork closure. We're also very conscious that we don't ever want to sort of over promise and under deliver, or ever be accused of greenwashing or anything along those lines. So what we do promise to do is that we will do the best we can every year. So if we find a better type of cork closure that works within the financial constraints of the actual product we're trying to create, we will switch to that. Yeah. So over its life cycle, sea change, we've seen different materials used for the cork closure. It's, we've seen different paper types used. You know, we now use a paper that is partially made out of the reconstituted grape must, so the leftover grape skins. We've lightened the weight of the bottles over that period of time. So it's about evolving the product, I think, over time, mm. and making improvements where you can.
Yeah.
A frustration, again, is that internationally, the same glassware isn't necessarily available. So we now have 19 different sea change wines. And from a marketing perspective, you would want them to look as similar as possible. Now some are obviously Burgundy bottle shape, some are Bordeaux bottle shape, but the truth is you can't necessarily get the same lightweight Bordeaux bottle in Spain as you can in France if you're producing.
You've got the barrier without thinking about anything else to do with taxation and all those kind of stuff as well. So yeah,
for sure, there's small challenges, but it's about evolving, as I say, and trying to make those improvements over time and making the steady change.
Yeah. So you think you're doing small things, but you're actually, as part of the bigger climate action, you're doing huge things to make a difference, aren't you? I suppose. But are you finding that you are part of a growing community of small businesses that chat and help each other, inspire others, and kind of, because that's part of the challenge, isn't it? In starting the conversation and helping other businesses to do what you're doing, I suppose, and just making a difference.
Absolutely. I think once you start down the sustainable sort of journey or path, you end up meeting and speaking to other like-minded business owners or consumers that are interested in making sustainable choices, either with their business or the products that they consume and purchase on a sort of day-to-day basis. So, we met a lot of inspiring people along the way, from big businesses that are trying to make a difference. So SeaChange was listed on Virgin Atlantic, for example, the international airline. You know, it's I think all the airlines recognize that they have a serious impact in terms of carbon emissions. However, certain airlines don't really want to engage on sustainability from a drinks perspective because
It might be doing
my
other
guests would
things.
feel that it puts the spotlight on them a little bit too much. But Virgin, were really good when they were speaking with us. They are trying to make improvements again throughout throughout that operation. So you see, at that big international corporate level, right the way down to we work with two great UK-based gifting companies that are sustainable. They're looking for ethical products that work. So Social Supermarket being one of them, Carabella Gifts, who really see the value in SeaChange and want to include it as a product within their hampers, for example, and talk about the message and the benefits and really highlight some of the work that we've done. So we've raised over 600,000 euros now for the charity partners that we work with, and we're really proud of that.
You should
And I think
be
from an
significant.
thank you. From an inspiration perspective, I think the charities are the people that I've met that have give me the most back in terms of the good work that's being done and the essential work. These are often volunteers that need the funding that comes from SeaChange and a lot of other businesses or individuals that will donate. But some of the fantastic work they're doing, it really is motivational when you see and hear about that.
So in terms of, obviously, you can't live as a business in total isolation. Is there anything that you're getting, whether it's kind of globally or locally, or is there support and advice that you get from either a government or a local, or are you generally finding that you're doing it all yourself? Is there more that can be done? There always is more that can be done, but
Yeah, for sure. I think there's more that can be done. I don't personally feel that we get a huge degree of support from government or local government in terms of this sustainability journey that we're on. I understand there are obviously financial institutions out there that may offer green finance options, which obviously, if you were seeking that level of investment, could be a benefit to businesses that fit the correct criteria. The way we fund our business, that's not a requirement for ourselves. But I think a lot of it we've had to try and work out on our own. And rightly or wrongly, it's a complicated, winding journey. But over time, you learn more and more. You learn from your mistakes. And you just try, like I said before, to try and do a bit better next year, and keep on that journey.
And is there anything that you think the UK government could do, outside SeaChange, really, for small businesses in this area that would really make a difference? And I know that's a big question,
I
but
think
we
it's a big
time and
question, but
time
it's a
again when we speak to guests, and it's a bit of a theme, isn't it? It's constant.
big question, but I think it's a really important question. One of the biggest challenges we face are changes to British law that are well-intentioned, but ultimately very badly thought through, structured, and ultimately executed. And there's a number of examples of this. This year we've had changes to alcohol duty that have come in, and now there is a different rate of duty for every 0.5% of alcohol on a product. So for an industry that is pretty fragmented, there's a lot of small businesses, the administrative burden that can put on and cost on a small business is immense. If you think certain wines, they're natural products. If you have a warm summer, you get more sugar in your grapes, you might have a wine at the end of it that's half a degree more alcoholic, or vice versa if you have a cold summer. If those wines are in a wholesaler's warehouse and you cross over vintage, how do they, there's two different prices for those wines, two different prices going out, and it would be the same on a restaurant list. How that is going to be managed is not easy.
The
extended producer responsibility sort of legislation that's come in, well-intentioned to try to reduce waste and excess packaging, but it is extraordinarily complex, and I don't think it has been fully thought through before it's been implemented. An example for us, we sell exclusively in the on-trade in the UK from a B2B perspective, so we don't sell to retail, to supermarkets or anything like that. So all of our wine, in terms of Sea Change or our other wines, end up in restaurants, bars, cafes, nightclubs. Now, these businesses up and down the UK don't put their waste glass into home bins. They don't put them into bins on the side of the street. These are generally large businesses or small independents, but you will have a glass recycling contract with your waste management business, and three times a week, a recycling lorry turns up and takes away that glass and recycles it. The fact that on-trade is still captured within the EPR rules, and the level of complexity and the detail is enormous. And this is one of the really big frustrations, that it just feels like it could have been, the goal could have been delivered in such a more streamlined and sensible way. But unfortunately, that's not where we are at this point in time.
This is where the, running a business is constantly juggling balls, isn't it? You would like, as a business, I'm sure, just to be focused on what you're doing, do the sustainability thing, do the thing that are great, but you've got all these kind of complexities that are just holding you back, that are extra layers on top of actually what you're trying to do. And this is, the challenges that you have on a day-to-day basis. So caps off to you for just doing a fantastic job and keeping focused on your mission. So if you, obviously, you're a seasoned kind of business owner, if you were to give advice to, say, a fellow kind of startup company, or somebody was thinking about starting a business and was kind of trying to do what you do and put sustainability really at the heart of what they do, what would kind of be the one or two kind of things that you would say to them as the top priorities to think about and to remain focused, I suppose?
Yeah, I think two things I would say would be, firstly, to surround yourself by good people. And that may be in terms of your team, or it might be in terms of other business owners. Generally, I find most people within this space are willing to give their time or advice whenever needed, because I think you get to where you are through the help of others that have more experience in any given area than you. So surrounding yourself by the right people is super important. I think the other thing I would say is, don't silo the sustainable sort of element of the business. So with Sea Change, we didn't want to simply create another wine and donate from the proceeds. That for us was one part of a multifaceted brand. So not only do we do that, but we look to, as we mentioned before, strip out those unnecessary packaging elements. Another point we thought of was we need to work with wineries that are aligned with our ethical and sustainable outlook. So we created the Sea Change Charter. So it's
so
our own charter.
Suppliers are, that's important.
And our suppliers need to sign up to this on an annual basis if they want to produce Sea Change, and for us to buy from them. And this aligns their activities and their production techniques with our own ethics for Sea Change. So that might be in terms of labor practices, discrimination practices, certainly sustainability. And then once a year, we create our own impact statement. We've just launched our 2024 impact statement. And as part of that, we will show a graphical audit of each of our winery partners as a bunch of grapes. And if they cover off another area adequately, they basically get another grape. So you can see the types of wineries we're working with and graphically see the steps they're taking to become a more sustainable producer.
Wonderful. I mean, all this is just fantastic. You're doing some wonderful things. I'm really impressed with and also trying to run a business on top of all that is just immense. Right. So, would people want to buy your fantastic wine? I've had a look at the website myself. I really fancy filling my basket with quite a few. Where can people buy your wines? Is it via the website or kind of?
So, if it's consumers at home in the UK, yes, it will be via seachangewine.com. So we have a direct consumer website, so you can order online and the wine will be delivered to your home in the UK. As I've said before, we have never chosen to sell into the off-trade sector in the UK, so we are very much on-trade focused. So the wines are, we're lucky, we've got some great wholesale partners and distributors, so the wines are in thousands of different outlets around the UK. So do look out for them if you're out and about. So those will be the two places. But we've got a great following on Instagram, LinkedIn,
you've got some
Facebook
blogs as well, which are really interesting. People can learn a lot, can't they, via those?
That's right. We've tried to really make the community sort of buy into the same ethos and those ethical elements that I was speaking before. And we've been lucky that we found a really great core customer group that buy into the same things that motivate us.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Simon, and good luck with everything. Hopefully we can pop in and maybe catch up with you next year and see how things are going. But
that would be fantastic. I'd be more than happy to speak. So thank you very much for your time, Rebecca. It's been great to chat.